Thank you for tuning in. We'll get to your program right after this short word from our sponsor.
Balance Virtually provides full-service financial planning services for small businesses, nonprofits, and startups. We can help you manage your monthly reporting, bank and credit card reconciliations, budget and forecasting, payroll services, and much more. To schedule a consultation with a certified public accountant with over 16 years of experience helping people like you, visit balancevirtually.com. Balance Virtually, your locally owned full-service financial planning service company. Mahogany Bookkeeping provides a full-service financial planning services for small businesses, nonprofits, and startups. We can help you manage your monthly reporting, bank and credit card reconciliations, budget and forecasting, payroll services, sales tax, and much more. To schedule a consultation with Mahogany Bookkeeping, click the Buy button on this ad or visit mahoganybookkeeping.com. Welcome to the Veronica Edwards Show, where we have fun financial conversations that everyone listening can apply to their personal and professional life. I'm your host, Veronica Edwards, and I'm so excited to be back for another week on my brand new show. I just want to thank all the listeners for downloading and listening to the podcast. Coming up to 2 months that I have been recording, so it's been a great experience. And I just want to thank the Biz Radio Asheville family and Matt Matan for having me. But I want to jump right into today's show. So I'm excited to have my first CPA on the show. This young man is a consultant, and I had the honor of meeting him earlier this year through Western North Carolina Nonprofit Pathways. In addition to working with WNC Nonprofit Pathways, our guest is also an instructor with the Duke University Nonprofit Management Program. And he also served as the former board treasurer for Arts for Life, an Asheville-based organization dedicated to supporting pediatric patients and families through arts, education, and engagement. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce today's guest, Mr. Wade Rogers, owner of R. Wade Rogers CPA. Welcome, Wade.
Well, thank you, Veronica, and thank you so much for referring to me as a young man. That makes me feel really
You are always a young man to me. So how are you? I know you are not in Asheville. Tell the listeners where you are recording from today.
Oh, well, I'm spending the week working remotely in Denver, Colorado. Realize that in this digital world, at least for the moment, we have the ability to kind of hybridize our vacations and spend some time working as well as doing things like camping in the mountains. So.
Yes, good for you. That's awesome. I mean, it is very exciting. I'm actually getting questions. I need to pick your brain. A lot of people are like, well, what are the tax implications if I am working remote and, and you know, my company is based somewhere else? But I honestly think there isn't any. It's just amazing that now people are embracing, you know, Zoom and all this technology that we already had. But unfortunately, it took the pandemic, I think, for people to realize that, hey, we don't have to touch or feel each other to do your books.
Right, right.
Yeah. So wait, tell the listeners about yourself, like where are you from, how you made it to the mountains and how you got started in accounting?
Sure. Well, I grew up in Orlando, Florida. I actually predate Mickey Mouse by 6 years. did all my schooling in Florida and actually ended up getting my master's at the University of Illinois in accounting. And that took me to Chicago. And I spent 6 years in the Chicago office of Pricewaterhouse in their general audit group. Think of myself as the last generation that audited with pencil and paper.
Oh my goodness. I will say, Wade, I worked for PricewaterhouseCoopers in the Charlotte office, but that was around, 2005 to about 2007. And I kept saying to myself, I didn't even know how to use a 10 key. So I was like, I don't know how I would have did accounting if there was not a computer.
And I tell younger folks that I work with who are CPAs or working in the area that I had to take the CPA exam with pencil and paper and no calculator.
Yes. And it was like 2 days, right?
Yes. 2 or 3 days. Yeah. And I walked uphill to school in the snow, not really in Florida. But I really actually enjoyed auditing and working in public accounting. But it had a rather limited life. I got promoted to manager and was hired away, which is typical in that field, by a client of the firm, a French group called Pechenet. which is a worldwide aluminum producer, and spent about 3-4 years with them working in New York or Greenwich, Connecticut. And then they transferred me to Compiègne, France for a year and a half.
Ooh, how was France?
France was fabulous for somebody like me who I actually had a double major in accounting and French. So it was right up my alley.
Ooh, is all I know.
Yeah, there you go. That was very well said. I loved living in France. The job was not so great. And I decided it was time to go back to New York and make a kind of a career pivot. And that's what took me into the nonprofit world. I landed in New York in 2000 and worked as the controller for the Samuel H. Crest Foundation, which is a grant maker in the arts, and really started to love that world and the world of nonprofit finance, and really found my niche there. What brought me to the mountains was after being in New York, combined total of nearly 10 years, I think it was time for me to go somewhere that was a bit of an easier lifestyle. Yeah. I think that when you turn 40 and you live in New York, you know, unless you're a multimillionaire, you kind of are still living like a college student in a sense.
Oh, so, I can totally relate. I'm originally from Brooklyn, New York. But wow. I moved when I was 10 years old, but my dad was a retired New York City bus driver. So he was born and raised in Brooklyn. And so we have a lot of family that it was interesting, you know, back in like the 50s and 60s, my mom's family's from South Carolina. So for a lot of jobs for people of color in the South, you had to move up to New York. And so she met my dad, and then they moved back down, similar to yourself, in the 90s, because it just, like you said, my mom still has friends. My mom's 66, and she has friends that are like, I can't afford to retire in New York. You know, like they've worked so hard and now they're still struggling. So definitely the quality of life is so much better past the Mason-Dixon line.
It's true. And you know what? I wanted a back porch, so I got one.
Yes. How long have you been in the Asheville-Hendersonville area?
I came to Asheville in 2005, so I can almost say I'm sort of a local now after 16 years.
Yes, you are. Yes,
there you
are.
So that's where I've really fallen into my work as a CPA with the nonprofit sector. My work in New York was with the private foundation, which is a really unique situation in terms of their financial issues. You know, basically, it's sitting on a large endowment and making grants. So it's a much different scenario than when you go into a public charity per se and the financial burdens they have and the governance issues they have. And so it's been in Asheville where I've been able to develop that work. Not only as a staff member for several nonprofit organizations, but then working more recently as an independent consultant / CPA with nonprofits in Western North Carolina.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about the nonprofit focus, because I definitely, it wasn't on my radar until I moved to Asheville back in 2016. So I'm climbing up behind you, Wade. There you go. I have 5 years, but I really fell in love with it as well, because similar to you, I started out PricewaterhouseCoopers, got a job through working with them with Rubbermaid. I always worked for these big Fortune 500 companies, and I kind of got used to that's the way it is. And then when I moved to Asheville, I was like, wow, this is really a breath of fresh air, that I kind of lost that love for accounting because it was so cutthroat. Mm-hmm. In the corporate world, but then I found that it was really the environment. And so when I started getting involved with nonprofits here in Asheville, such as the Spark Foundation, which has a connection to WNC Nonprofit Pathways, I really said, wow, it's not the accounting, it's the people. So tell us, what is it about the nonprofit world that drew you to it? And also, we definitely want to give some tips to the listeners in that nonprofit world, because again, it's, even though it's a nonprofit, it's a business, you know, that you still need to make revenue to hit that mission statement.
You're so right about that work. And it's so interesting how we followed that same course of working in a large public accounting firm and going to a major client. And I think that there was that point where I tell people, well, I left because I was just tired of maximizing shareholder value.
Yep.
I was always sort of feeling like I was part of this crazy hierarchy, a bit of a cog. And I knew that I knew that I really liked accounting. I'm a bit of an accounting nerd. So that was the issue. The issue was the area where I was working. So that's what really attracted me to the not-for-profit world. It was just sort of that change in the focus. The impact you're seeing is actually community-based. It's the diversity of the organizations, not only in what they do and what their mission is, but the people within them. And quite frankly, it's just a better culture of work. All those years working kind of on the corporate level, I was really happy to get into something a little less cutthroat, like you said. So that was a nice move for me, and I haven't regretted it.
Oh, absolutely. It's such a good feeling when you can help a business grow, you know, and you can see the impact that it's making on their families, the whole community, you know, like you said. So on the show, you know, we talk about different tips and jewels that we can give to the listeners. And I wanted to just pick your brain on what are some of the common mistakes or common questions that you've seen working with nonprofits that's a little different from what you've seen working in the for-profit world?
Well, I think that, so if you're talking about the for-profit world, you know, right there is for-profit. Now, I'm not demonizing the for-profit world for their pursuit of money, is because that's what the point is. That's why you go into business for the most part, though you often have other reasons for doing it, a certain impact or something you love to do. But what changes in the not-for-profit world or nonprofit world, the accountants can never agree on which way to refer.
Not versus non, yes.
There you go. Often that finance function, the whole notion of kind of fiscal stewardship, it's hard to devote resources to it, because if you're in a mission-based organization, what you're doing is trying to get your work out in the community, and the last thing you have to spend money on is making sure that your financial information is accurate and you have what you need to make decisions to run and to grow your organization. So I think that's one of the most common hangups, especially in younger startups, smaller, even volunteer-based organizations, is that it's sort of a by the seat of the pants accounting and finance function. And often also because, you know, the folks that are brought together in pursuit of that mission, you don't necessarily have some accounting nerd on your board or on, you know, in your volunteer pool to help make sure that happens. So I have a colleague, friend, who often, you know, when she hears someone say, well, we can't really afford to do that. And she says, well, you can't afford not to. In terms of at least figuring out how are you going to devote resources to your financial stewardship and make sure that you're producing accurate financial information that you can use, but also that you have controls in place to ensure that you're not inappropriately accounting for things. And also, quite frankly, you have controls in place to make sure nobody's taking from you.
Yes. And that's the biggest thing. Sometimes nonprofits get a bad rap because you'll hear people saying, oh, you're just setting this up because you want to pay yourself, or you're giving it all to salaries and things like that. And it's like, well, yeah, some nonprofits, it's a service that you're giving. So a lot of your expense is going to go towards salaries. But as long as the mission is being accomplished and it's a reasonable salary for the area, again, I think some people feel bad when there's like, well, I'm getting just paid as much as I would for profit. So I think that's also a misconception too, thinking that you can't live, you know, a nice lucrative life with a nice salary in a nonprofit world. I mean, we forget Goodwill's a nonprofit.
Yeah. And I that's so true about, you know, I certainly don't, in all my work here in Western North Carolina, I certainly haven't run into what makes the press in terms of excessive compensation in the not-for-profit world. In fact, I find it to be quite low compared to the rest of the other sectors. And I think there is a fear of going too high in that area and a public perception issue of a salary being too high. But I think it is important, and this is kind of a whole nother area, but I think it's an important, and this actually goes sort of into the role of board oversight we talk about, is to make sure the board, if you have employees of the organization, if you're not just volunteers, that you're ensuring that your staff is being paid an appropriate and fair wage, at least a living wage, one that's also compatible or comparable with other organizations in the area, and that you're actually really keeping tabs on what your executive director is being paid. Because it's actually the role of the board to ensure that the executive director is being adequately but not excessively compensated.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people don't realize, you know, your average executive director, which is the CFO of a nonprofit, is making between $80,000 to $100,000 and up, even in Western North Carolina. And to your point, that's still below, you know, the national average, because we know these executive directors, they're grant writing, they're the HR, they're finance, they're doing a lot of positions. And so it is very important to make sure that they have that financial support. And one thing before I want you to let people know how they can get in contact with you and your services. I met you through WNC Nonprofit Pathways. So I wanted you to just plug that a little bit, because I think that's really cool that this is a it's a company that helps nonprofits. A lot of times we have, you know, Mountain BizWorks, a lot of great organizations that help for-profit businesses. But I like that Pathways focus is specifically on nonprofits.
Yeah, Pathways is actually affiliated. WNC Nonprofit Pathways is affiliated with the Community Foundation of Western North Carolina, who's one of its funders and sponsors. There's also funding and sponsorship from the United Way of Asheville and Buncombe County and the Cherokee Preservation Foundation. So wow. It's a collaborative effort. And really the mission of Pathways is to support and help grow the nonprofit sector in the 18 Western counties of North Carolina, maybe 19, but the Western part of the state. And mm-hmm. they do it through different services, direct consultancies that are with an individual not-for-profit that may be in strategic planning or board development. I do financial coaching with organizations where I go in and spend time with them, just helping them work through the particular issues that they've identified that they need help with. We also work on sustainability consulting, which helps organizations identify their individual programs and if they're financially and strategically sustainable and in line with their mission. That's a really interesting one. We also have a whole series of educational courses. Western North Carolina Nonprofit Pathways has taken on their own series of nonprofit certification courses, similar to what Duke had done in the past here in the western part of the state, as well as just ongoing. They do a legal compliance update for organizations and lots of different trainings throughout the year. And I know I've missed some of the services, so my apologies to Pathways for maybe not giving the full array.
That was an awesome plug. And yeah. All those listening, if you go to nonprofitpathways.org, you can learn more about their services. And I learned about Pathways through the Spark Foundation, where I sit on their board as a treasurer. And we use the services of Pathways for strategic planning, just like you said. And we were just at our 3 or 4 year mark. And, you know, you're just kind of figuring it out. You know, as a child, we're walking now, but we still didn't have a good stride. And it was really nice to have someone sit down and help us restructure our mission statement and really break down what a mission statement is and what the responsibility of the board is. Because like you said, you just kind of get started and you're in the community, but then you forget the importance of having that structure. And it was just a blessing that Pathways was able to help us. And that really set the tone for our branding and our marketing and for us to really start feeling with confidence that we knew who we were as a nonprofit.
Yeah, they really help with the structural issues. You know, help you, the organization has enough on their plate to make sure they're serving their constituents and carrying out their mission. And so in addition to that, they're also, like you said, running a business and growing a business. So that part, that's where we come in and help assist with that.
Awesome. So Wade, tell everybody how they can get in contact with you if they wanted to get your services. I know that you specialize specifically in nonprofit. So if someone said, hey, well, I have a for-profit, do you take clients from time to time, or you're 100% nonprofit?
I have made the decision that I'm 100% nonprofit. It's just where I love to be.
Yes, and no apologies needed. Sure. Absolutely, yes.
But I certainly have a network of referrals that I can make if somebody does come to me, like you.
Yes, absolutely. Bring them my way. So how can folks listening get in contact with you?
I think that probably the best way is through my email address, which is Wade Rogers, which is WadeRogers, the number 94 @gmail.com.
Awesome. And are you taking new clients currently? I know it's busy summertime. It's so hard for me to say no, but my son's out of school this summer and I'm like, okay, I'm not taking anything on until August because it is, you want to help. That's the hard thing. I don't know if you struggle with that way being in the nonprofit world. You want to help so many great people with their cause, but then it's like you have so many hours in the day.
It's true. And I don't have a lot of hours, but I certainly have time to talk. I'm always happy to just take a call and help with questions or, you know, because it's, you know, it's just nice to be part of the community and know what folks are doing and what their needs are. So I'm always happy to help. But yeah, I'm pretty full up, but I've always got an hour or two to spare.
And I really appreciate that. And I also want to highlight the fact that, you know, Wade is a CPA with so many years of experience and he could have easily said, oh, who's this little girl? I don't want to have a relationship with her. She's my competition. And this is where we talk about on the show, Wade, that it's all about relationships and, yes, and having a network of your peers. And that's something that I love about being in Western North Carolina. I've only been an entrepreneur here, so I don't know how it is in other areas, but I just appreciate knowing people like yourself that I can call and ask questions to and really feel like, oh, I have somebody that's my peer, but also can be a mentor and can also guide me. So I really appreciate that you're willing to, you know, have that attitude because a lot of folks, you know, feel like, hey, once the check clears, I'll help you, but they're focused on their priorities.
That's right. I appreciate that. And I fully agree. I'm so happy that the two of us just specifically have made that connection and have that collaboration now.
Awesome. Well, Wade, we have to go, but thank you so much for making time while you were in beautiful Denver, Colorado. And again, for those that are listening, please reach out to Wade if you need those services. And Wade, can you tell us again that email address?
Yes, waderogers94@gmail.com.
Awesome. And again, listeners, come back to the Veronica Edwards Show, where it's aired every Friday at 4:30 p.m. at bizradioasheville.com. Or you can also get the app by entering 36260 as the contact and texting Asheville to 36260. So Wade, again, thank you so much. I told you the time was going to fly by. Yeah. And I really appreciate you making the time during your busy summer to talk with us and giving us some jewels. And we know that people will definitely be able to utilize your services in the future.
Thank you, Veronica.
All right. Have a good one.
Thank you for listening. If you liked what you just heard, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and be sure to visit bizradio.us to find hundreds of other engaging conversations, local events, and more.